Carson McCullough spent most of her short writing life writing about the difficulties of human loving. In her short story, A Tree, A Rock, A Cloud, a paperboy is accosted early one morning by an old man in a street corner cafe. The man, whom the boy decides is probably drunk, says to him, "I love you," and then proceeds to tell the boy the story of his life in the midst of all these diners. He shows the boy a picture of a woman whom he was married to and who had left him. And he tells the boy a long story about the difficulties he had in loving, and then concludes that he started at the wrong end of love. Loving those who are the most important to you is too difficult. You need to begin with a tree, a rock, a cloud. Then those that you don't really know well. Then whatever comes into view. Loving someone you really care about, the old man says, is the last step in my science. And I haven't tried it again. As she has done in much of her writing, McCullough uses this kind of craziness to point to the truth that love one another is not all that simple. Most of us need practice, whether or not we begin with a tree, a rock, and a cloud. I did notice that in our opening hymn, "To You, O God, All Creatures Sing," that was originally written by St. Francis. And if you read through the verses, we sang through many of them, while you're reading through the words, it struck me how the verses move from affirming and praising the sun and the moon, then through nature, finally to the affirmation of others. Not unlike the old man's practice of loving on, to practice loving a tree and then a rock and a cloud, Francis seems to move from praising and loving all that God has made to finally, specifically loving humans. Do we, in fact, need to love everything in order to love one another? In a funny way, I think we do. Christ says, "Abide in my love." If we recall the opening words to the Gospel of John, it says, "All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life." Christ is the source of life, and he is the source of love. In order to truly love others, we need to be in touch with that universal source of love. I don't know about you, but for me, I need to quiet my mind and spend time in contemplative prayer. I need to go inside and find that place of love, that God place, that Christ place. I need to stare at a sunset now and then in order to stay centered. I need to spend beach time to stay in touch with the rhythm of God's pulse. We need to abide in Christ's love before we can successfully love others. I think of it as letting God love through me, letting Christ love through me, but it's really Christ's love. When we are centered in Christ's love, he becomes the matrix in which we live, the very air that we breathe. I would like to share another story with you. It's a wonderful story that Fred Craddock tells, describing one small church and how they embodied Christ's command to love one another. When he was serving as the pastor of a mission church in Appalachia, he came into contact with a wonderful custom that occurred during their baptismal service. Every Easter evening, this congregation would baptize new members at sundown in the shallow waters of a nearby lake. And as Craddock tells the story, he would wade out onto this sandbar with the candidates for baptism, and the rest of the congregation would spend time around a bonfire singing hymns. And they also had built little booths so that people could change clothes after they had gotten all wet being baptized. And then when everything was finished, they would meet around the fire and warm themselves. And then once everyone was together, the custom was that Glenn Hickey and no one else would introduce the new folks and tell what they did and where they lived. And then Glenn would slowly walk them through the circle of people. And every member of the congregation would give their name and then say something like this: "My name is Emma. If you ever need someone to do your washing and ironing. My name is Fred. If you ever need someone to chop some wood for you. My name is Katie. If you ever need anyone to babysit. My name is Craig. If you need someone to repair your car. My name is Louise. If you ever need a ride into town." And then once everyone was finished, they would eat a huge meal, and then a banjo or a fiddle would come out, and they would start square dancing and singing. And then when darkness had fallen and there was a chill in the air, Percy Miller in his bibbed overalls would stand up and say, "Well, it's time to go home." And then after everyone was gone, Percy would kick some sand over the fire with his big shoe. And Craddock shares that his first experience of welcoming new members into that church, he noticed Percy standing behind the dying fire, and Percy looked at him and said, "Folks, don't get any closer than this." In that little community, observes Craddock, they have a name for that kind of experience. Said, "I've heard it in other communities as well. They call it church." They call that church. These people didn't necessarily lay down their lives and die for each other, but they did lay down the days of their lives for each other. They laid down the hours and the minutes and their days for one another. They were practicing loving each other in real and concrete ways. And as they practiced, they were each upheld and supported. They literally lived in a web of caring and generosity. They were literally abiding in Christ's love as expressed through the persons in that community. And I can't help thinking that folks living in that sort of environment will find themselves so fed that they will have plenty to give outside of themselves. I am positive that that is what Christ had in mind when he commanded us to love each other. In this fast-paced world that we live in, it's easy to think that we don't have time for church. There are too many important things to do, too many problems to solve. But honestly, I think that we are on the front line of the war. What we do here every week may not look heroic, but it is. Whenever I read in the newspaper about people who have perpetrated an act of terrorism or another mass shooting, there are common themes that run through those stories. Themes of feeling isolated, alienated, neglected, bullied. Last week on an NPR story that I scanned an article about how loneliness has become an epidemic in our country, particularly among young people. We have an antidote for that. It's called church. It is in church, such as this one, that a child can grow up knowing that they are part of a community and that they are loved just as they are, where they can interact with people of all types and all ages and learn that we can all get along together, where adults listen to them and value their opinions, where hopefully they can learn some of the skills on how to love people that aren't necessarily easy to love or that you don't necessarily agree with. If you were listening in the story I told to the children, I honestly think that the best way to make the world safe for the next generation is exactly that, learning how to listen to each other, how to talk to each other respectfully, how to show good manners. That's going to give us a safer world than anything else. Where we can learn how to show good manners and where we learn how to offer hospitality. These are not trivial things to know. This is actually heroic work. Our newly formed care teams are doing that, keeping in touch with those in need and those who feel isolated. That is love in action. The work that our mission board does is love in action. Bread for the World that we will be doing today during fellowship hour, that is love in action. I'm going to put you on the spot, Michael. Do we know how much money we raised last week for One Great Hour of Sharing? I know. I didn't email. I didn't ask. But whatever it was, even if it was only $50, that's going to make a big difference in somebody's life somewhere. That is love in action. When we abide in Christ's love, it fills us and it flows out to the world around us. And as we all practice love, we truly become friends in Christ. Amen. I invite us now to be in a moment of silence.